Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Akila Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, the KFO has welcomed new draft Brexit guidelines specifically citing requirements for fisheries to be included in the free trade agreement. Irish Water have announced plans to invest almost €9 million as part of the upgrade of the Ballybuffet Stranorler wastewater treatment plant. The number of people awaiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital has risen again today to 42. And neurology services are at breaking point according to the Neurological Alliance of Ireland. Those stories you follow in full plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming off at about 5:15, followed by Nuacht with Colin Ferriter. But first the news. Irish Water have announced plans to invest almost €9 million as part of the upgrade of the Ballybuffet and Stranorler wastewater treatment plant. Upon completion of these works, the plant will comply with European wastewater directives with the provision of a new process stream and equipment to increase the capacity of the plant. Work is due to commence next month with an estimated completion time of 16 months. Colm Claffey, Irish Water's Infrastructure Programme Regional Lead for the North West, says this is a part of a major investment for Donegal.
The upgrade will bring benefits to town and the surrounding areas in terms of development potential, environmental protection and improved water quality. So that's the reason why we're spending this €9 million on the upgrade of the Ballybuffet Stranorler plant. It's ultimately to ensure environmental protection and to ensure that the water quality of the River Finn is protected. It'll mean that we will be fully compliant with the licence which we have for the plant from the Environmental Protection Agency, and it will ensure that we're complying with the regulations that we must comply with for our plant. We signed a contract with Response Engineering Limited last Wednesday, and we expect to see works commencing on site in May of this year.
And going forward, I suppose it's at an early stage, but is there any timescale given on when the works will be completed?
The contract period is 16 months. I expect that they will be mobilising two sites in May. And between now and then, we will be doing a lot of sort of planning work, and the contractor will be doing a lot of sort of procurement and getting set up on site. So we will see activity on site in the next month. Irish Water will be investing about €135 million between now and 2021 in upgrading wastewater treatment plants in approximately 28 other towns and villages right throughout County Donegal. So we have a huge body of work that sort of get through between now and 2021.
Meanwhile, local councillor Patrick McGowan says the works are about future-proofing the sewage plant treatment plant in the town.
Something we've been lobbying for quite a few years. They have quite a good treatment plant in Stranorler there, but it's not capable to take in all of the existing sewer that's within the town, especially in the outreach, and that has curtailed some of the development of the town. So obviously this £9 million contract, which was signed this week, work will start now in May, and this will actually enable to allow the population going up to maybe 8,000 or 9,000. You know, so it's really future-proofing the sewer treatment plant in the town, and it's something that existing houses, existing businesses, and all goes well for development within the Twin Towns going forward.
The Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation has welcomed new draft Brexit guidelines specifically citing requirements for fisheries to be included in the free trade agreement. The draft guidelines state that trade in goods with the aim of covering all sectors, which should be subject to zero tariffs and no quantitative restrictions with appropriate accompanying rules of origin. In this context, existing reciprocal access to fishing waters and resources should be maintained. Chief Executive of the KFO, Sean O'Donoghue, says the draft text holds good merit in backing from the other EU member states.
We already were successful with the transitional arrangements text that came out from the Council at the end of January, on the 29th of January, and that also maintained that fisheries, the status quo in terms of the access arrangements into UK waters and the quota shares, would be maintained during the transition period. So this new set that's just been published now is for phase two and says the same thing basically, which is good news from our point of view.
And what are the chances of there being changes made to this draft text between now and then?
That's always possible. I mean, we saw what happened with the text in terms of phase one, particularly with the north-south in the things, how many changes happened before they were finally published. So, yes, it could happen, but we're confident that the draft guidelines wouldn't have been published if there wasn't the 27 member states weren't really behind it.
Lascan Corla and Donegal Deputy Patrick Gallagher says fisheries negotiations must remain central to EU Brexit talks.
I also welcome the draft guidelines, and they don't surprise me, because when Michel Barnier was in the Dáil, I met him for lunch, and I didn't have to convince him, but I suggested to him that fisheries should not be negotiated in isolation, that it should be negotiated together with trade, and that's what's been done now, and I think that's beneficial to the fishing industry. Because we want to ensure that when negotiations are taking place, that it would be very fair and very reasonable. Now, if we look at it at the moment, if they were taken in isolation, a substantial amount of fish caused by Irish vessels have been cut off the west coast of Scotland. And of course, if that goes back to become Scottish waters, then we will not be able to fish there. But on the other hand, the reason it has to be inextricably linked with trade is that they need the market of 500 million people to sell their fish. And of course, if they're selling into the European Union, then there'll be tariffs on them. So they'll have to look at this very sensibly. And I would hope a better arrangement could be worked out for the Irish industry and the European vessels.
The number of people awaiting admission to Letterkenny University Hospital has risen again to 42, 29 of them on emergency department trolleys. That's the second highest figure in the country today, and up 11 on yesterday's figure, according to the INMO. Nationally, 601 people were waiting on a bed at hospitals across the country today. The Dáil has spent more than 5 hours debating abortion, with a vast majority of speakers calling for a repeal of the Eighth Amendment. The government earlier outlined that new laws they'd like to see, including abortion without restriction for up to 12 weeks. After that, abortions would be allowed in cases of fatal fetal abnormality or when there is a risk to the life, health or mental health of the mother. Fianna Fáil's health spokesperson Billy Kelleher believes the current laws are unfair.
Do we say to a woman who was pregnant as a result of a vile rape that she must carry the pregnancy to full term, and if she doesn't, and if she self-medicates and brings about a miscarriage, she is potentially criminalised and could get a custodial sentence of 14 years. Yet the rapist might get a criminal conviction of 8 years.
It's emerged that Letterkenny Institute of Technology has spent very little money on consultants as preparations are made for the creation of technological universities which bring colleges together. It emerged during a discussion at the Public Accounts Committee that Cork Institute of Technology and the Institute of Technology Tralee spent almost €572,000 over 3 years while preparing for a project in Munster, while the North West project involving the Letterkenny, Sligo and Galway Mayo ITs spent just €3,000 over the same period. Neurology services are at breaking point, according to the Neurological Alliance of Ireland. The group has designated this week Brain Awareness Week and is calling on the government to act now to improve services. Among the developments being called for is the appointment of more neurologists in the Northwest. The Invest in Neurology campaign, which is running at the moment, says the lack of services in Donegal is just one example of the alarming national staff shortage in neurology care. Professor Tim Lynch is clinical lead for the National Neurology Programme. He says the fact that MS rates in the Northwest are so high is an indication of the national imbalance.
We see nearly 2 to 3 times as many patients with neurological problems in Ireland compared to even 7 or 8 years ago. And trying to do that, we've managed to increase the number of neurologists in the country, 36 or so consultant neurologists in the country. The problem is, I suppose, that's not quite adequate. We thought we were seeing the tip of the iceberg, the number of patients with neurological problems in Ireland, and that there was a whole bunch of people under the water that weren't being referred. And what's happened is we've started to see more people who got referred appropriately because they have neurological problems. And last but not least is that the neurologist appointed in the country, Eastern Heavy, we have a fair number of neurologists appointed in Dublin, but in the Northwest in particular, as you've highlighted, is unfortunately lacking. So, for example, we used to have one neurologist, we now have two in Sligo, who has to cover Roscommon, Mayo, Donegal, etc. So Donegal and Donegal Letterkenny General Hospital does not have any neurologists.
And as you say, this is happening at a time when more and more patients are being diagnosed. In one way, the service is almost a victim of its own success.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. And medicine's a bit like that, I suppose. We have to recognise that medicine is getting producing new tools all the time and new therapies. And once the therapies come, people appropriately with the problem will demand the access to those therapies. For example, I give a good example. Multiple sclerosis is a good example in that this has completely changed when I was training. We've got treatments that are highly effective for that. But that means you've got to try and get an early diagnosis. And that means you have to have early access. It's lowest down the southern part of Ireland. But as you get up towards Donegal in the north, it's the highest frequency.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure's massive golf sale. Now on at Station Roundabout, Letterkenny.
It's now 5:15, and with a busy day in sport, it's time to hand over to Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with colleges action, and it's been a mixed day for the LYIT Liddies. The soccer side won the O'Regan Shield at the Intervarsities, but the GAA team lost out in the Moynihan Cup semi-final. First to the soccer, the Letterkenny side beat Garda College in the O'Regan Shield final 2-1 at the University of Limerick. Zoe Green, who scored a hat-trick in yesterday's semi-final, netted the opening goal in the first half, and Zoe McGlynn added the second. Green was also named player of the tournament. LYIT coach Johnny Bird was delighted to take the win.
Hard fought, won the day over the Garda College now, but thoroughly deserved. Now, sure, he got a good hat-trick yesterday, took her goal well there today, now the first one, and as you said, they played the tournament. But again, Zoe was one that had 13 others down the other day, and it was a good team performance all around, you know.
The two sides will meet again this coming Monday the 12th in the CUFL Division 1 League Final, which will be held in Abbottstown. And you can hear more from Johnny by going to the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Meanwhile, the LYIT Ladies Gaelic football team lost to IT Tralee by just a point in Dublin in the semi-final of the Moynihan Cup. The girls' side, which is coached by Michael Murphy, pushed hard towards the end but couldn't score what was needed to make the final. Colleen Duffy reports for Highland Radio Sport.
The Michael Murphy side squandered a lot of chances in the opening half, and this cost them with a late chance to force extra time from Emma McMahon dropping short and referee Kevin O'Brien blowing the full-time whistle. IT Tralee led 1-6 to 1-2 at half-time, with Erica Hannan netting Letterkenny IT's goal. The Letterkenny IT girls worked hard to cut the gap on the restart, McMahon pointing from both frees and open play, with Sarah Jane MacDonald also on target to cut the gap to 2 points on 49 minutes. A Rachel McMaid goal gave IT Tralee momentum, but McDonald goaled for Letterkenny IT, and following a Cathy Ward point, it ensured a grandstand finish. However, Letterkenny IT just fell short in the end. Full-time IT Tralee 2-10, Letterkenny IT 2-9.
Colleen Duffy reporting there for Highland Radio Sport. Let's go to League of Ireland Soccer. And finally, Fun Harps will get their first division campaign up and running tonight as they play Shelburne. Harps go into the game with a couple of injury concerns. Doubtful for the match tonight. Our skipper Kieran Call and the midfield pairing of Paddy McCourt and Gareth Harkin. The club, of course, have had to be patient with three consecutive postponed matches. Manager Ollie Horgan says that hasn't put pressure on the side.
I don't think there's any pressure on anyone at the moment. Like, I don't know, as I said before many a time, but myself and the players and the management team, I don't think any of us are quite sure where we're going to end up. It's a new team. There's a lot of new faces there. A lot of legs, a lot of eager young lads, you know, that have come in. And it's a new team and it'll take time. So, you know, where that'll take us, I don't know. But certainly tomorrow night against a very, very experienced Shelburne side who have a hell of a lot of Premier Division players. But we have a couple of them ourselves, and I think the standard will be very high as, you know, the First Division ever has. And it'll pose difficulties to it, but also it should, you know, pose also an attractive side of football from opposition sides and maybe a little bit from ourselves as well. Yeah.
Finn Harps boss Ollie Horgan, kickoff time to that game tonight is at 8 o'clock. And if you can't make Finn Park, you can tune Highlands Way. We will have updates with Dermot Doherty as from the kickoff time. Now, Derry City are looking to get back-to-back wins in the Premier Division off the SSE Air Trusted League tonight when they go to play Shamrock Rovers. The Derry squad are missing quite a few of their players ahead of the trip to the Atala Stadium. Derry do have a good record, however, against Rovers. Here's the Candy Stripes boss, Kenny Shields.
Our main focus is Shamrock Rovers, and you know they're firing on all cylinders. You could see that. They've got Roland Finn back for this game, and I'm sure they'll be wanting to try and exact some revenge on us. Did we win three times last season, I think, out of three? It's hard to keep that going against a team as big as Shamrock. But we'll do our best, and hopefully we can bring something back up the M1.
And the other games tonight in the Premier Division, Dundalk welcome champions Cork City to Oriel Park. Bohemians play St Patrick's Athletic. Waterford look for back-to-back ones when they play Sligo. And Bray Wanderers continue their search for a first one with a trip to Limerick. The nominees for the 2017 FIFA International Awards have been revealed. Derry men Shane Duffy and James McLean are two of the nominations for the Senior Player of the Year. Darren Randolph is the third. Duffy has also been named in the Young International category, while McLean is nominated in two of the three goals of the year. He did, of course, score those against Uruguay and Wales. Donegal's Amy Boyle-Carr is nominated in the under-16 women's international section. Jimmy Bradley of Cockhill Celtic is among the intermediate nominees. And St Eunan's College student Shane Blaney is included in the school's international player of the year. In rugby, it's a big evening for Joe Dunleavy. The former Letterkenny and City of Derry player gets his first start for the Irish under-20s tonight. They play Scotland and Donnybrook in Dublin. Dunleavy is hoping to help the Irish bounce back from the defeat to Wales last time out. Meanwhile, the Irish team have announced a clean bill of health ahead of tomorrow's Six Nations clash with Scotland at the Aviva Stadium. Joe Smith's men held their eve of game captain's run at the match venue in Dublin earlier this morning. And the women's are also in action in the Six Nations this coming Sunday in Donnybrook when they play Scotland as well. Ballybuffet's Laura Feely is once again in the squad for that tie. Now to Gaelic Games, the Tyrone team to play Donegal in a Saturday night's Division 1 clash at Hayley Park in Omagh shows two changes from the side which lost to Monaghan last time out. Patrick McNulty and Mark Bradley come into the starting lineup there, with Colin McCann and Richie Donnelly losing out. No details as yet about the Donegal team and their 15 that will take to the field at tomorrow night. 7 o'clock is the throw-in time to that crucial relegation battle, where whoever wins will receive a real boost in their battle to stay up, but the loser will be pulled in to a relegation dogfight. You can follow the game live tomorrow night on Highland if you're not going to Hayley Park in Omagh. Join myself and Martin McHugh as from 6:45 for full live match coverage from that one. Meanwhile, Anthony Thompson is back in training with the Donegal senior panel. The Niamh Connell man was not involved in the setup last year, but has returned to give inter-county football another go. Among the rest of the games in the National Football League, Derry, of course, battling for survival as well in Division 3. They're out on the pitch tomorrow evening, Saturday. They must go to the Athletic Grounds to take on one of the joint leaders, Armagh, in that encounter tomorrow evening, where a win on the road would be a real boost for Damien McAuley's side. Hurling-wise, Donegal are in Armagh on Sunday in Division 2B of the National League as they play Armagh at the Athletic Grounds. That one starts at 2:30, where a win for Donegal would confirm their place in the section for another season. Derry, they're away on the road on Sunday as they go to Wicklow, and Derry of course fighting relegation as well in Division 2B in the hurling, while Tyrone and the hurling over the weekend are taking on Longford. That's on Sunday in Division 3A, and a win for Tyrone will send them through to the final of that section. In golf, Tiger Woods has taken the outright lead at the Valspar Championship in America. Tiger's at 5 under par with 4 players a shot behind him. Shane Lowry remains best of the Irish on level par through 14 holes. Graham McDowell and Padraig Harrington are on respective scores of 3 and 7 over par, and Rory McIlroy will tee off from 3 over this hour. Seamus Power will take to the course at around 6:30 Irish time. And just some of the other fixtures this weekend. Athletics-wise, the All-Ireland Schools Cross Countries are being held tomorrow in Waterford, while at the Athlone IT, the National Masters Indoors are taking place. There's quite a few Northwest athletes heading to both of those events and hoping for medals tomorrow on Saturday. And then on Sunday at the European Throwing Cup in Lisbon in Portugal, John Kelly of Finn Valley will go in the shot. Finally, in basketball, there's a big game for the LYT Donegal tomorrow, Saturday. They're playing the Dublin Lions at the LYT in Letterkenny. And a victory there for the home side would send them through to the playoffs in Division 1 of the Basketball Ireland Leagues. That's it from the sports desk for the moment. Just to remind you once again, updates tonight from Fun Harps against Shelburne. Dermot will have the first of those just after the 8 o'clock news. And PJ Lynch will be back with Saturday Sport tomorrow afternoon, shortly after 2. Michaela.
Thanks, Oisín. And finally for weather, cloudy this evening but staying dry with winds increasing moderate easterly. Rain will extend from the south early tonight with lowest temperatures of around 1 to 3 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, the Killybegs Fishermen's Organisation has welcomed new draft Brexit guidelines, specifically citing requirements for fisheries to be included in the free trade agreement. Chief Executive of the KFO, Sean O'Donoghue, says the draft text holds good merit in backing from the other EU member states. Irish Water have announced plans to invest almost €9 million as part of the upgrade of the Ballybuffet and Stranorler wastewater treatment plant. Upon completion of these works, the plant will comply with European wastewater directives with the provision of a new process stream and equipment to increase the capacity of the plant. Neurology services are at breaking point, according to the Neurological Alliance of Ireland. The group has designated this week Brain Awareness Week and is calling on the government to act now to improve services. Among the developments being called for is the appointment of more neurologists in the northwest. And the Dáil has spent more than 5 hours debating abortion, with the vast majority of speakers calling for a repeal of the Eighth Amendment. The government earlier outlined what new laws they'd like to see, including abortion without restrictions for up to 12 weeks. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. Coming up next is Nuacht with Colm Ferter, and we'll be back again with an update at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
Shéir mhaith is Colm Ferrer and Sean on the Príomh Scéalta Air Highland Radio. Sholo Q Mark Gnó le Gaeilge ag ócáid I bhfeiceann croí a mhaith a chlé a nné. Cóid Jonach nua don Chláctas is fear sé Q Mark Gnó le Gaeilge a tá deimhníthe de réir Caigean. Tugann an gradam aitheantas de agraíochtaí Gnó a bhainint úsáid as Gaeilge mar uirlis breise Gnó agus margaíochta ar fod Ellen na hÉireann. Bronnú gradam ar gnólachtaí a ghlac páirt and scheme Fialachta I Lahart Egan Vranu and Ye Viantara Stats Joe McHugh Chakta Dalla August Kaiher La Forest Nagirig Apollo Gallagher. Ta factus or rubber eg corlia con de Hunanal, con Angeliga a Kaluru, August a Lajru, a Reblian and Nagiliga. Runt Fishan a Garage, a Krelu, and a man social to Taigest, conan Changa a Haspinch, Satil Lehil Sahonde. Leve Parcha on Jen Tafid Beg, Ejurjai. Higgins Quig second Jag Dietje Hin the Gohan na camera ogus e cholorai Higgins Sprag a Hartjeg egg Horlia Honda Gunanal Bunkai E. Gah Olus egg Sieve Horlia Hon and Horlia Honda. Connor Husla Grupa Teshmahori ogus Lani Ur and Letcher Cannon. In ye, ta an grúpa díriha ar chaili le poistí réibhscola a lóran scéalaige sa bhála na ar bhailofa níos mó géalaige a úsáid, taliú olas ar fáil ó Catriona nach seoin áfaga farbartha glór na géal. Imeachtaí seachtain na géalaige ag onag Níomh Padraig Dóir, dreid sé ar chomórta sa grín grafada dorachta inniu agus bé rangan na bacala de luain agus ithe seanathais aber leat le ceoltóir omraite Seamus McGee de Cédinne. Agus bé dríadóir ag Club Óige Ghoir Jardín seo thugainn. Agus tá líonra leat sé cenan ag reachtáil seisin teilí an ochta go háirta club ag clubte Níomh Aonan le ceol agus craic cead iste siar an aisce agus tá fáilte ruamh a an duine. Agus bé féile scoldrámaíochta in Araclan Gidors, Jaluin, and Darren Alegeg, August Jamarchin Trio Legeg, Dun V Shaw, Bay Shay Rama, August Fier and Arden, Har Ya La, Eg Toshert, Majin Jaluin, Egajahi Clug, La Skull Fatherig Dor. Tell you Eg www.skulldramiart.ie. Shimma Hodge, Eligolier, Slan, August Bannacht.
The obituary notices for Friday evening, March the 9th. The death has taken place of Sylvia Georgina Pinkerton, née McFarland, at the Foyle Hospice. Funeral leaving her late home, 5 Greymount Crescent, Kilfenan, on Sunday at 2 o'clock, followed by service in Ebrington Presbyterian Church at 2:30. Burial afterwards in Ballyone Cemetery, the house is private. Family, flowers only, donations in lieu to the Foyle Hospice, care of Mrs. Ruth Hay, funeral director, 100 Spencer Road, Londonderry. The death has taken place at Letterkenny University Hospital of James McGonigal, 28 Riverside Park, Clonmany, and formerly of Caltra, Clonmany. Remains are reposing at his residence, with removal from there on Sunday morning at 10 to 11, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for 11:30 funeral mass, burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place at Carindonagh Community Hospital of Bridget Kelly, Jack Litcher Urris, Clonmany. Funeral arrangements to be confirmed later. The sudden death has occurred of Michael Taylor, to Chapel Close, Stranorler, son of Jackie and Mary Taylor. His remains will repose at the family home this evening from 7 o'clock, funeral leaving from there on Sunday morning at 10:30, for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler, interment afterwards in Stranorler Parish Church of Ireland Churchyard. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to the Patient's Comfort Fund, St Joseph's Community Hospital, care of any family member. Family time from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place at Culmore Manor Derry of Mary Catherine McCallion, formerly of St Columba's Wells and Kells Walk. Remains are reposing at Bradley and McLaughlin's funeral home until 8 o'clock tonight, and from 9 a.m. tomorrow morning until removal at 5:15 tomorrow evening to St Patrick's Church, Ishkaheen Muff, for funeral mass on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has occurred of Dorothy Doris Conwell, Marine Drive, Killybegs, County Donegal. Remains arriving at St Mary's Church, Killybegs, today for 7 o'clock this evening. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. Family, flowers only please, donations in lieu of desire to friends of Letterkenny University Hospital. The house is strictly private, please. The death has taken place at his home of Frankie Casey, 10 Barrack Street, Strabane. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 9:55 for Mass in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Strabane, at 10 o'clock, followed by cremation in Lakelands Crematorium. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Western Health and Social Care Trust, Strabane Day Centre, care of Quigley Funeral Directors, 1A Newtown Place, Strabane. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Norma Holliday, née Colquhoun, formerly of Mallentown. Service of Thanksgiving in St Patrick's Parish Church, Drumbeg, County Down, on Monday next at 12:30. The sudden death has occurred of Winifred Doherty, née Sharkey, 25 Stony Heights, Castle Derg. Winifred's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from her late home tomorrow morning at 11:30 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. And the death has taken place at his home of John McGill, 81 Ahafad Road, Donamana. Remains are reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 10:15 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ahabrack, at 11 o'clock, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery.